And it's Scott Simmons here with the Radio Real Estate Show, and I have a guest in the audience today, in the studio today, Alex Danny. How are you, Alex?
Hi, pretty good, Scott.
Isn't it a wonderful day on Salt Spring?
Look at that sun shining out there.
It's just a great day. And we had the Apple Fest this weekend, and there's just lots going on the island. I feel like I've been fested out with the Fall Fair, now the Apple Fest. I mean, it's been just a roller coaster ride of activity the last few months.
Well, that's perfect. Now, we live in really a paradise, and it obviously shows when you go to some of these shows, right, or festivals, and, you know, taste some of the wares or visit somebody's estate.
Yeah, it's there's always so much to do on Salt Spring Island. So today's show is about real estate. So today we're going to talk about curb appeal.
Okay.
I mean, curb appeal, you know, I just went to this most stunning house down in the south this morning for a CMA. And, I mean, their curb appeal was a 10 out of 10, which is very rare to score a 10 out of 10 on my book.
Okay, so explain roughly curb appeal, and then what would you say would be, say, the top three things that determine curb appeal?
Well, it's when you, you know, actually, it was interesting. I got an email this morning from a person on the island who's going to rent Patterson's gas station, Patterson's Place.
Right.
And they're going to open a new store.
Okay.
And I highly recommended that she gets, and she actually had a copy of it, Why We Buy by Paco Underhill, a book that was written probably about 15 years ago by the world's foremost expert in retail and why we buy. And in his book, which I studied, and I also met him three times and took a seminar off of him, he explains that, you know, curb appeal to a business, or if you're selling a house, starts when you pull in, you know, driving down the driveway. I mean, that's where the whole
right.
feeling. And I mean, if you're, you know, if you're driving down the driveway, my pet peeve is, you know, crowned driveways where you go in and the underside of your car is getting scraped off and your muffler, you know, looks through the rearview mirror and it's back there. And I mean,
right.
a lot of the, and there's rocks and potholes. And how can you have a good feeling about the house when you've been rattled to pieces getting there?
Right.
Now, in this this house was a lot like David Woods's Salt Spring Island Cheese Company, where you go in and the driveway is all paved all the way in through the forest. I mean, it's very similar to this last house. You know, you pull in off the road. Actually, I checked last night on Google Earth
right.
and Google Maps. And the Google Maps, they actually drove up the driveway thinking it was a road. The driveway is so nice. And then they deleted those pictures off of the Google Maps.
Okay. Right.
But the actual little thing on the map.
It shows his driveway on the Google Maps.
Because it looks like a road. I mean, it's so well done. The driveway.
Okay.
Perfect grade going in, lined with trees, all paved, perfect crown on the road so the water yep. comes off, drainage ditches on both sides, and you go in, you come around a corner, and it's kind of like a hidden Japanese garden where from the road you don't see anything. You come around this corner, and it's just this beautiful grass field with pampas grass, and then you look up and you see the stunning house, and you're like, wow. Like,
okay. So that's what you're looking for right at the very beginning.
It's that wow
factor.
It's and it, when you look at it and go, wow, and then you as you drive up the driveway, all the grass is manicured and the gardens are manicured and you're like, wow. And then when I got a little closer, me personally, my pet peeve is, you know, you get into some of these places and you can't turn around. And all of a sudden, you're way up this driveway, and you've either got to back down it all the way down the road, or else mm-hmm. there's a little tiny spot, and there's one car in there already.
Mm-hmm.
This guy had a big circular turnaround in front of the house, all concrete, with a beautiful island in the center. Like, that is nice.
It totally makes sense to have something like that. I mean, okay, concrete in the city, or sorry, in the countryside, you know, it doesn't necessarily fit, but you can make it look good, right? You can stamp it, you can make it look like slate or tile.
It's
or
like
sandstone.
It was like pulling into this golf course yeah. almost, you know, like you felt like you're at the country club, you know, pulling in and, you know, some doorman's going to get out and get your car and ask you if you want valet parking or, you know.
Carry your baggage.
Yeah, I mean, you just get that feeling. And we're talking an average house here. This house was nothing too special.
Okay.
But when you get that feeling coming in, it makes you, it just sets the tone for,
right.
I got to have this house. This is a house that I, you know, most buyers would just be salivating at this time. They're just like, Oh, man.
So landscaping, really, when you're talking about curb appeal.
Curb appeal starts in the time you turn into the driveway.
Sure. A combination of landscaping and design and layout and planning. Like, planning where the parking is right from the very beginning and or, you know, building it in as you're doing
and
your
turnaround spot. I mean, a simple thing like a spot to park and turn around, it sounds so obvious, but most places you find that are actually too small.
Okay, I guess then begs the question, does that actually add any value to somebody's house?
Oh, yeah, because when you walk up to the front door and you're already going, wow,
So it's a guaranteed sell.
It just feels good.
Right.
I mean, you know, you're just so...
Sure.
You know, you just, I mean...
Yeah, you want to feel like you're coming home, right? You're not driving off into oblivion and you know, you're lost.
Well, everybody imagines that their home is going to be something special. And, you know, they always envision that they're going to have a cocktail party and have friends over and have drinks on the deck at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or have this big family get together. And they want their home to be something special, right? Something that just feels like...
Right, because that's what, really, that's what home is, right?
Yeah.
It is,
you know,
the destination.
The family's coming over and the kids and everybody... You know, and it just feels like this just soothing place. It's just incredible. And that's how the driveway and the parking...
So the tar paper flapping in the wind on a lot of the, some of the places that I've seen doesn't count.
Well, it's, you know, it's when... It's like I've got a small backhoe. It's you know, you need to get in there and rip the crown off the driveway and fill it in and drainage ditches. I mean, a lot of times they're just, you know, mud driveways and then, you know, the mud's kind of washed out and you got all this rock and it's crowned and you're, if you've got a small car with 4 or 5 inch ground clearance, you're just
Honda Civic or something like that.
You know, I can see my old Honda right outside in the parking lot here, but that's why I had to sell it. I really truly love the car, but it only had about 5 inches of ground clearance.
Yeah.
Half the driveways you can't get up with 5 inches of ground clearance.
No, they're a perfect city car, but I mean, not knocking Hondas or Honda Civics, they're a great car. We've had 2 or 3. But as you were saying, you know, just getting places.
No, and that's why I find with the Subaru, I've got 9 inches of clearance. Yeah. At least I can get up half the driveways. And these are places that are for sale.
Right.
So if all of a sudden you're grinding up there, and then, you know, by the time you get to the driveway, the people are like, and then there's nowhere to park. You're precariously on the side of this hill, you know, you're kind of parked, and everybody's kind of watching. You know, it throws them off. I mean, the buyers are just so...
And are buyers coming over from Vancouver a lot these days with their city cars? Or?
Oh, yeah. They're all city people moving here.
Okay.
I mean, the amount of people moving from other islands or rural places, it's really low.
Okay.
I mean, the amount of buyers moving from the city is really high. I mean...
And is it one particular city or is it numerous?
The wealth is created in our economy in the cities.
Right.
That's the economic wealth is created
the
in
generator.
The cities.
The generator, yeah.
And it's all the white-collar workers in the city cores who shuffle paper are the ones that have made all the money in the last 20 years. And whether they're oil executives or finance people or banking people, I mean, that's where the wealth is created. And if you're selling a house at $700,000, $800,000, that's real money. And then on top of that, they've got to have retirement funds.
Right.
Some way of sustaining themselves, either annuity or pension. So they've got a fairly big
umbrella
of wealth.
Finance there.
So you don't get that kind of wealth usually in a small town. Like, you're not going to move out of Princeton, B.C. and say, yeah, I've made, you know...
I'm going to move to Salt Spring and buy a $1 million house.
Yeah, I've made my fortune, you know, selling pottery in Princeton, B.C. And, you know, I mean, it's very rare. Most of the people coming here, and they're all urban refugees fleeing the cities. You know, the cities are just horrid.
So having curb appeal and adding curb appeal.
Adding curb
appeal. Now, what about a place that, say, is already for sale for, say, $599 or so, or $589 or $499 even? And you drive up, and it's a dirt driveway, and there's no gate, and there's no parking. And, you know, the house itself maybe even needs a paint job. And they're asking $499.
It's huge. I mean, and the reason why these houses don't sell is just because of what you exactly described. I've had a lot of people
flopping in the wind.
Some people won't get out of the car. They'll just drive in,
right.
Sit in the car, and they make their decision whether or not they even want to get out of the car and see the house. I get phone calls all the time. The realtor didn't leave a card in my house. And it's like, well, the reason I didn't leave a card in your house was because we didn't get out of the car.
That's
because
unfortunate.
It looked so bad from the street that they didn't even want to give you the courtesy of walking through the house. They couldn't even get that far.
Right. So a curb appeal also then applies to, say, almost home staging, but you have to include home staging in the exterior.
Oh, it's...
So if you have garbage cans...
all of a sudden you get this big wow factor, then
right. Yeah. Yeah, so garbage cans, you know, you could make a whole list of things that could happen at some of these places where people won't get out of the car.
Did I ever tell you about my mom?
I don't. Do you want to talk about that now, or
can I lay down? No, you know the thing is.
Call.
Well, my mom was Scottish descent,
okay.
And raised by my grandmother was Scottish, and she always said, you know, when we're going to visit somebody, we're going to go through their front door, and if somebody ever said to her, "Oh, just come around back." She would just walk, turn around, grab us, go get in the car, and we would drive away. She would be horrified
right.
if someone said to her...
Because that's the servant's entrance.
Go to the back door.
That's the servant's
exactly.
entrance.
Exactly.
Tradition, old traditional upbringings. There was the servant's entrance, and there was the front
exactly.
entrance.
Exactly. And see, the problem with most homes on Salt Spring Island, they were stock plans.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when you get a stock building plan, and you put it on a lot, and let's say you have a view... Well, then you have the houses
the front door, which is, say, 2.5 stories up sometimes because it's a cliff, a drop-off.
It becomes the door to the deck, and then the back door becomes the front door.
Right.
And so the houses get jiggled around, and if there was no kind of architectural thought in that process, then sometimes, yeah, you end up using the back door more,
mm-hmm.
and that ends up being the recycle center and the
right.
garbage center.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is... You don't get a wow factor when someone comes up and the first thing they see is your recycling and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a very good point. I mean, talk about curb appeal.
That's as much as about my mom
okay.
as I want to talk about.
Good. let's move on.
But no, that was her thought process. And when I,
right. That's a generation.
In the city.
For sure.
You don't notice it because in the city houses all have, most city houses, if they're in an older subdivision, will have the street access and then the laneway access from the back where the garbage cans are and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So you always...
Some cities, not all.
The newer houses now, what they're trying to do is they're trying to blend because developers are cheap. They got away from lanes and they're trying to blend the front with the back by having
yeah.
the garage out front.
We definitely don't like that. You know, we were just off island not too long ago in a different city. Not the city that I'd want to go back to by choice. But anyways.
The biggie.
It was an older neighborhood. It had all the laneways
yeah.
in the back. And so you're driving down the streets with mature elm trees, some of them 3 feet around, 4 feet around. It had curb appeal, each home, because you didn't have a garage in front, you didn't have a driveway in front, you didn't have garbage in front, and you didn't have power lines in front.
Yeah.
All the power went down the laneways. The garbage situation was such that they had a sort of a gate within a gate, so the garbage could be in or out, right, in its own little enclosure. And the garages were all in the back. And you can have your lawnmowers back there, your trailers, your motorhomes, your things like that that don't need to be out front. I mean,
yeah.
some neighborhoods like, say, Broadmead, for example,
right.
I mean, they have covenants. Where you can't park your motorhome in
right.
front, and you can't have a blue tarp covering
yeah.
your motorcycle, or you can't have firewood stacked where it's
yeah.
visible. So I think things like that almost need to be in place, but we forget about these things in the countryside, right?
Well, see, and that's where a house has to have a front door with an entrance area, and this comes back to the Paco Hill book. Now, the Paco Hill, in retail stores... That's what he describes in his book, is that a store needs to have an entranceway,
right.
and an entranceway is called a compression zone.
Okay.
Now, the most important thing about the entranceway and the compression zone is because it's really your eyesight that has to adjust the most. And so you come into a store.
Yeah, good point.
And most time it's, let's say it's really bright outside and you come into a store and all of a sudden your eyes have to adjust. And in the wintertime, you know, you kind of have, you know, water in your boots or whatever. It could be salt or ice or something. So you know, or water, rain, whatever. So you want to kind of have that compression zone, and that's what an entrance place is in a house, where you shed those outer garments, sure, and then you hang them up. You have a closet there, and then it's kind of an area where you meet and greet. Mm. And you know, Walmart does it. Think about it. You know, that's where they have
like a vestibule area.
Well, they have the greeter there, and right, you know, you get the cart, and you kind of get orientated, and okay, you're into the store. You know, the most people, 98% of people, once they're in the compression area, want to turn right. And you'll notice in most houses, most architects have clued in on this, and the stairwell is always to the right. Because the natural flow of people, once you're in a compression area, is to turn right and either go up the stairway or go into the living room of the house. And it'll be laid out that way. And that's like retail stores. Most...
So the entrance is on the left as you're approaching the store. So you come
most
in
stores,
and
yeah,
you turn right away.
Yeah, you go in and you turn right, and then the store will be laid out in a logical pattern after that. And that's and that's like a house too. You know, you have to have that. If all of a sudden you get to the house and there's garbage cans there, and you go in, there's a little tiny entrance, and you go in,
then recycling
you're
kind of and so into forth.
The kitchen and this little back hallway, you just feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know you've arrived, but then you think that, okay, I'm a servant now. I'm not here as a guest.
Right. And so for selling a house,
you have to have that front door experience.
And you're walking up to somebody's front door, which is the back door, with the recycling and the garbage and everything.
It's sunk right there. You'll never sell a house.
It's really hard to bring them in further.
Never sell a house.
Right.
Because the people have, it's ingrained because all of our mothers and our grandmothers told us that 20, 30, 40 years ago, and it's ingrained into our psyche that if we're going into a back door, all of a sudden it's not a grand entrance. We don't feel important.
Right. Then who are you, right?
Yeah, I'm a nobody. Yeah, like, you know, they just told me to go around back, and I mean, I feel like I'm a workman, and I've come, you know, here I've got 800 grand in my pocket to spend on a house, and now I feel like a workman going to the back door. It's like...
And a lot of the back steps that you see, a lot of these places I find, too, are treacherous.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's something we could talk about in the second part of the show today, is what kind of improvements people can make to their home, whether they're selling it or not, whether they're living in their own home or selling it, basic improvements that somebody could make.
Good point. Okay. We'll be right back with the Radio Real Estate Show after these words from our valued sponsors. So stay tuned to 107.9 FM CFSI. Mm-hmm.